Mark chapter 6. And as you are turning over there, just a reminder that tonight, as soon as we're done, we've got a bunch of these labels. Saturday night is cruise night. And so we have a lot of these labels to put on water bottles. And so those are all back in the fellowship hall. That's where my group meets. So we're going to wrap up a few minutes early tonight. That way, as soon as your group is done, you won't feel like you're interrupting. Come on back. And many hands make light work. So anyways, everyone come back and help if you can. And we'll knock that out pretty quick. Also, there's a sign-up sheet on the table by the front door out there. And on Saturday, I can't remember, is it 4 or 5 o'clock that we need everyone here? Is it 4? At 4. But before that, there are some sign-up times. And the goal is to have two people pretty much all day long. You sign up for an hour slot. And so you and your partner, as people are setting up for cruise night, we can take waters to them and hopefully have some good gospel conversations. Sometimes once cruise night's happening, it's really loud. It's hard to have a good conversation. But I know last year, I think, Brian, you had a good talk with someone before things even got going. So while people are setting up, it's going to be hot. Bring water to them and maybe get to share the gospel Saturday afternoon. So anyways, if you would sign up for one of those time slots out there, and that's actually some of the stuff we're going to be talking about tonight as well. So Mark chapter 6, if you found your place there, would you stand with me as we read and honor the word of God? Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 7, the Bible says, "And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals, and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, In what place soever ye enter into a house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them." Let's have a word of prayer together tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I pray tonight as we take these few moments just to open your word and study together, that you would challenge our hearts through your spirit and your word. Lord, that we would love you more, and we would have a desire to see men know you. Lord, I pray, especially this weekend with this outreach event, that you would now work in the hearts and just in your sovereignty and your knowledge, bring us alongside those ready to hear the gospel. Lord, I pray that you would bless those efforts. We thank you so much for the grace that you've shown us and your goodness in our lives. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So just going to highlight a few things here before we break into our groups and maybe dig in a little bit deeper tonight. But notice first, when Jesus calls his 12 to him, it says in verse number 7 once more, "And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth two and two." Now, why did Jesus do this? It doesn't tell us explicitly. I have my theories, and so since I'm the one speaking tonight, I get to share those. And so Jesus sends them out in pairs, and just think about the practical reasons for this. Could someone go out by themselves and preach the gospel? Absolutely. John the Baptist was doing that for a long time. But there are practical reasons to have a partner with you. And even beyond that, I think that there are helpful, really helpful reasons to have. Turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Book full of wisdom. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. The Bible says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." See, there's a lot of wisdom in doing things together sometimes. How many of you guys have ever decided to work out and go to the gym? How many of you guys did that consistently, like you went to? Yeah, my hand didn't go up that time either. Well, the reason that it's good to have a partner when you think about working out or different things like that is because you hold each other accountable. And you're able to share in each other's successes and able to share in each other's defeats. And I just got to tell you, this in the month of August, guys, I have set a goal for myself. I'm trying to lose 20 pounds this month, just so everyone knows. And I was doing really good on August 1st. I didn't drink any pop. I ate kind of healthy. And then August 2nd got here. And we took all the kids to the dairy last night before service. And I was feeling bad about myself. I was really discouraged because last night I had some ice cream and a buffalo chicken wrap and some French fries and 3 cups of Mountain Dew. And I felt really bad. Until my friend and partner in this endeavor, Wayne, texted me today. Wayne texted me today and said, I relapsed last night. And I thought that was bad. Wayne had a box of Milk Duds, half a bag of Doritos, some donut sticks, a Star Crunch, and a tall glass of chocolate milk. I need people to protect me after service. So Wayne's conclusion was that we're both really bad at this. But all joking aside, when you have a friend and when you have a partner, when you have someone with you, it's an encouraging thing, right? Because now it's not just that, man, I could have done better last night. I have a friend who also messed up. But tomorrow we're gonna do better, Wayne. And if we don't, we'll just try again the next day. Listen, that's how it is. When we go out and we share the gospel, listen, when we're working in tandem, when we have a team, just like Ecclesiastes says, it is a helpful thing to have someone with you. Number one, when you're going out and talking to people, it's always good to have someone else praying with you. It's always good to be able to sharpen one another, to walk through some of these gospel conversations with each other. I can't tell you how many times I've been talking to someone, and maybe I have a friend with me, whether it's Isaac or Brian or whoever else might be on outreach with us, and something comes up, and they share some insight that maybe I don't have. Maybe they're able to connect to this person, and I can't tell you how many times if you knock on a door, a dog runs up to the door, and the owner or the homeowner is so distracted trying to keep their dog in the house. If you've got someone with you, they can pet the dog while you talk about Jesus. These are just practical reasons. But Jesus sent them out in twos, and there's just a lot of wisdom in that. And that's not to say that we shouldn't serve the Lord when we're by ourselves, but ministry, when possible, you shouldn't do it alone. You should have someone with you for a lot of reasons, for encouragement, to have someone pick you up when you fail, someone to pray with you, someone to share that with. And so Jesus sends them out in pairs. And as they go, listen to what he says in verse number 8. And he commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on 2 coats. Now, why would Jesus send them out with no supplies? Because the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to Jesus. And even if they go out without a lunch plan with them, Jesus can provide for them day by day. And so I believe as Jesus sends them out, this is about faith and this is about trust. I think about in Matthew chapter 6 when Jesus is teaching and he says this famous quote, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought for tomorrow." Listen, Jesus, as we are faithful to him, he's going to provide everything that we need. Now, does that mean that we're irresponsible and we don't plan when we should? Of course not. But in this instance, Jesus tells them, don't take that stuff with you. You're not going to need it. I'm going to take care of you. And it'd be one thing for them to believe Jesus, but we talked about this a lot at camp, but the difference between belief and trust, they can say we believe that God will provide, but to actually go on this journey without any supplies really exhibits their trust. It shows that they don't just believe that God can provide, but they believe that God will provide. And I think that there's a lot that we can learn in their example in faith and in trust as they go out on this limited commission. I talked about this Sunday night, but to our shame, how many times do we hand out tracts or share the gospel or serve the Lord, and in the back of our minds, we're skeptical that anything's going to come of it? Listen, I'm telling you that we ought to be people who pray, and every single one of these labels that gets on a water bottle, we ought to believe that God will bless his word and that it won't come back void. It's going to accomplish exactly what he wants to accomplish. We ought to be people who trust that Jesus will provide what we need as we serve him, and trust that Jesus is able to bless the efforts as we go. Now he says he commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. Now listen to what he says. In what place soever ye enter into a house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you, when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. I think this is a good reminder for the disciples, and a good reminder for us, that there is a severe punishment that awaits unrepentant sinners. And that people who die without Christ, they don't become separated from God when they die and enter eternity. People are separated from Christ. David said, "In sin did my mother conceive me," that from birth we are wicked, evil, vile sinners. And what Jesus talks about here, and I think this is really important for us, especially here where we live in the Bible Belt, because almost everybody has heard a form of the gospel, at least. Most people you talk to know about Jesus, maybe not all the details. But I believe the Bible teaches this, that there are degrees of punishment. You can find that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. That those who hear the gospel and reject Jesus are going to suffer a very sore punishment in eternity. And so what should that do for us? That should motivate us. That Saturday night, this main street in Muldrow is going to be littered with people who are unrepentant sinners, and if they die without Christ, most of them have heard the gospel, and I believe they've trodden underfoot the Son of God. They know about Jesus, they know about the gospel, and there is a sore punishment that awaits sinners. And so when we go in faith and in trust, knowing that not only can God bless his word, but as we go, and we're faithful and obedient to our Lord's command, that God will bless his word, and people will repent. That's the message that they took out. Verse number 12, and they went out and preached that men should repent. Something significant in verse number 12. And they went out. See, Jesus gives them this command. He says, listen, you guys, you're going to partner up and you're going to go. Don't take all these supplies. Go to the city. And once you get there, if they don't listen, shake the dust off your feet. Go on to the next town. And he gives them this command. But then the next step is what? It's for them to actually go. Right? Knowing is only half the battle. And in, you know, we read Matthew 28 and Mark 16 and Acts 1 about the Great Commission and how these are our marching orders, right? God has not, he's not suggested that we tell our community and others about Christ. It's a command that is to be obeyed. That's it. We know that. Like everybody in here, I'm confident on a Wednesday night, the people who are at church have heard the Great Commission. Like we know that. But there's a big difference between knowing what God would have us to do and actually doing it. And I'm afraid too many times we would be like the disciples if Jesus gives them this command and they say, amen, Jesus, that's exactly what we ought to do. And then they sat there and didn't go. But the Bible says, and to their credit, that they went out in verse 12. And as they went, what do? They preached that men should repent. You know what's great about the gospel? Is 2,000 years later, it hasn't changed at all. That Jesus gives these 12, as he sends them out in pairs, he gives them this command to go out and repent. Or to go out and preach that men should repent. And 2,000 years later, that's what we ought to be doing every day. It's what we ought to be doing when we get together on outreach. It's what we ought to be doing with our lives is pleading with men to repent and believe the gospel. It's the same message that's always existed. And they went out, in verse number 13, and they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Listen, Jesus blessed their obedience. Jesus was with them as they went. And that's the promise that we have. Right in Matthew 28, Jesus said, I am with you always. And so as we go, the Lord, we're not alone. He is with us. He's empowering us. He's enabling us to do everything that he tells us to do. And that's why we can have faith and trust, is because he promised to be with us. And a promise from God's already done. I'm asking you guys to stand with me. We're going to have a word of prayer and break into our groups and maybe dig in a little bit deeper about some of those things Jesus shared with his group there. I think this is a great opportunity to dig into the Word of God and maybe ask some questions in a smaller setting and just dig a little deeper. As soon as you guys are done, just a reminder, you can come on to the back. We'll have plenty of labels. Even if my group gets done, we'll work slow. That way you can come help. So let's pray and we'll